And now, brought to you by Cliff Graham's Good Battle Chewers, because all other Israel trips are for
pansies.
www.goodbattletours.com. Coming to you live, but not really live, from Gut Check World Headquarters in the capital city of a boxing glove-shaped state, and Gut Check South Command, deep in the belly button above the buckle of the Bible Belt, it's the Gut Check Podcast with your hosts, Ted Kluck and Zach Bartles.
Hey, welcome to the Gut Check Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined, as always, in studio by my good friend and my partner in radio, Zachary Bartles. And baby, this is the last time that we're going to have to do this remotely via technology, via the magic of Mozilla Thunderbird and the other technologies that we employ to bring this show to the people. And why is that, baby? It's because you're going to come see me in person.
Indeed.
Here in Jacktown, here in Jackson, Tennessee. Are you guys... Are you ready for your trip? Are you excited?
Dude, I'm not excited about the trip itself, the driving part. I'm excited about being there, but we realized today that we waited too long to book plane tickets, and they doubled in price.
No.
And we're going to have to drive.
Son of a bee, because Aaron and KK were just emailing about plane tickets. So is that like...
Yeah, well, it's less driving for you, though. You don't have to come to Memphis.
No, that doesn't matter. I'm fine with that. Dude, Memphis is...
But, I mean, it was going to be redonkulous. It was going to be like... more than two grand for three of us to fly down for 2 days. So.
Oh, that's horrible. Are you serious, baby? That sucks.
I was accidentally looking at the week after, and it would have been half. I mean, $900 or something. Yeah. So it's wonky, but you know what? We'll get some time in the car, and if there's anything I love, it's extended car trips.
Absolutely, especially in January where you're going to be driving through like a polar vortex.
Right, the trip, yeah. What's it like down there? I heard it's all weird and wintry.
No, it's super nice, actually. It's not warm right now. It's probably still like 30, 35 degrees, but it's sunny. And the roads are clear. There's no precip. I mean, it's really easy. So yeah, you'll at least have
35 degrees. I thought we were going to escape the cold by going down there.
Well, let me look at next week, man. Let me look at next week. I'm just answering your question. I didn't invent the weather.
I'm resenting you.
Yeah.
Not the weather.
Uh-huh.
I'd like you to take care of this before I get down there, please, before I drive 10 hours.
I'll try. I'll see what I can do. okay, so you're arriving Saturday or Friday. It's going to be 40 in the 40s.
Well, you know what? It's like 40 below here right now, so it'll be a nice refreshing trip.
It wasn't there like 2 on a good day, you know, so you'll get warmer by a lot down here.
Anyway, what do we need warm weather for? We're going to be in the smoke room, the cedar-lined smoke room, not in the garage. Right.
We're indoorsmen anyway, man. We don't need to even like go outside while you're here. Why would we do that?
I didn't even know there was an outside.
Exactly. There really isn't, man. There really isn't. We've got all we need inside, and that's the point. I love how this first segment has just turned into a phone call with us discussing our travel logistics.
If you think I'm going to cut that out or cut it down, you're wrong. Think again.
Oh, no. Absolutely not. That would be the wrong thing to do on so many levels.
But let's turn it into something of general interest. Ted, do you like long car trips?
That's a great question, baby. That's good radio. And I appreciate you like opening this up as a topic. You know, it's funny, man. I used to hate them. Okay. So when I was younger, I really disliked the long car trips. And I think when we had little kids, I really disliked the long car trips because it was just a pain with those guys. But as they've gotten older, two things have happened as they've gotten older. One, they've become easier to zone out via technology, obviously. But two, they've actually become cooler to actually talk with and interact with on a car trip. So I find myself really not hating those. The one thing I hate during a long car trip is the unexpected delay. You know what I mean? So inevitably, there's a crash or there's some other thing that makes the highway like a parking lot for a while. And I'm sad to say that in my many decades of being a person and even a Christian, I've gotten no better at dealing with that.
Yeah. It's a rage machine is what that is.
Yeah, it really is.
Rage
it really
factory.
Is. Because, and why is that? Let's get to the psychology behind that, baby. Because...
Well, men want to be in control of everything.
Exactly. That's a huge part of it.
Or at least know the reason for it. And usually with that situation, you get to the front and you're like, oh, there was a paper cup on the side of the road. Everyone slowed down to look at it.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, that's the worst, dude. And yeah, so there's the control aspect, but there's also... I don't know if this applies to you, but I think deep down I'm so arrogant And I think my time is so valuable yes. that my thought process is something like, I can't believe I have to waste this time. You know what I mean? I could be doing whatever, whatever, whatever. And I just get really resentful. It feels really personal. You know what I mean?
I don't know about you, but with me, I'm never less Christ-like yeah. than when I'm driving. And this is funny. As a 39-year-old gentleman mm-hmm. of the cloth,
yeah,
I still have this strange like mental go-to thing that sort of calms me down.
Yeah.
If I'm behind a huge lineup of yeah. cars, a backup, in which I see a button on my dashboard, and I push it, and a little arm comes out from under my car and flips the car in front of me, like the Incredible Hulk, off yeah. into the distance, like, uh-huh. and I do that again and again till I get through all these people who are just standing still instead of driving, because I figure at some point I'll get to the front of the idiots who are standing still instead of driving,
yeah.
and then I'll be able to drive.
That's so true, man. I mean, that's
holds water.
That's unimpeachable logic right there, you know.
Unless it goes on literally forever, in which case, I mean, all bets are off. But that's a logical absurdity, right?
Yeah, in which case you're actually in hell at that point. So
that is what hell is like. You're driving, you got to get somewhere, and you can't get going. You're like Peter Gibbons. Right. You get in one lane, it stops. You get in the other lane starts going.
Exactly. Exactly.
Let's talk more about maybe driving and stuff, being old men.
This will be the driving episode. We'll call it the driving app. And tell me if you do this. So I get into a traffic jam situation and I immediately start exploring like alternate routes on surface roads. And I think I'm going to beat the
system.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Like,
that's a grizzled old man thing.
Oh, it's an old man instinct. It's like baked into my psyche at this point. But it's like, yeah, if we exit here, we can take County Road 100 until it jogs and then pick up, you know. And I've done that.
Actually, my wife is more likely to do that than me. I have this sense. I'm like the guy at the slot machines
yeah.
where I could move from this one, but I'm not going to yeah. because I've gotten it ready. You know, I've already invested yeah. an hour and 28 minutes in this road. And if I leave, it's all wasted. So I'm going to stick with this yeah. one. It's like a stubbornness, actually.
Maybe that's interesting. Our two psyches are different because I'm totally a forward motion guy. Like as long as I'm moving, as long as there's movement in a reasonably forward direction, I'm happy. You know what I mean? And tell me if you do this though. So let's say you're driving. Let's say you get caught in a traffic jam. You take an alternate route. Part of the delicate psychology of the situation then becomes me trying to convince everyone in the car, but mostly myself, that getting off the highway was a good idea. You know what I mean? It becomes about like, I really wanted to do this, and this way is much more pleasant, and look at all those idiots on the highway, because for a while on the county road, you can glimpse the highway. You know what I mean? And you can see them.
So it's like on a movie when the guy's like the big presentation that's weighing on his mind the whole film, and you're doing like a big boardroom yeah. presentation, but the audience is the audience of your car, yeah. two of whom are already like face deep in a 3DS anyway.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it does. It becomes that presentation. And, you know, I think what I failed to realize all these years about my wife is that she doesn't care whether we're on the highway or the county road. She just wants me to not yeah. be angry and flipping out, you know? But the very thing that she wants is the very thing that I don't feel capable of doing most times, which is not getting angry and flipping out. So, it's a growth area, baby. There's a lot of growing to be done there. And I have to say, man, in all of our years of extensive highway travel, and I'm thinking mostly of our jaunts over to Bay City to Timothy's Fine Tobaccos, I don't feel like we ever encountered like a traffic crisis.
Oh yeah, we did.
You know what I mean?
That one time on the way to Timothy's, there was a total backup on 69, and that's when we saw those enormous poles that were like four stories tall on their sides
yeah.
in people's sad front yards.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
literally one of the funniest visuals of my life. I laughed so hard at that.
I love that, dude. That was super bleak.
Exactly.
What those things were.
Like the only thing that could make those yards bleaker was those exact poles.
Exactly. Exactly. Because those yards were pretty bleak to begin with. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, yeah. They were mostly mud yeah. and there was a ditches instead of sidewalks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, I got to say, adding to the kind of old man grumpiness of yeah. all this is that not only do you sound a little AM radio-ish because you're not using the Blue Snowball at the moment,
yeah.
but there's a lot of the like lag, like from the first test call uh-huh. where it's like slow all of a sudden. And I don't know if our internet at the Church is bad all of a sudden, but honestly, it's a little nostalgic, a little fun for me.
I'm getting some bad on my end too, and I didn't want to say anything for fear that it would frustrate you, but to hear you say that it's fun empowers me to agree that it's fun.
And so, with Zencastr, it's possible that it's getting both of us without that lag, and it'll sound fine.
Dude, that's right. I feel like in post-production, Zencastr, like, all the mistakes that you think you made and all the things that you think are wrong, they're usually gone,
and,
so...
And usually there's a few times I make like a factual error in what I say, and it corrects that as well.
Yeah, exactly. A few times where we delved into like inappropriate things, and Zencastr actually has a complicated logarithm where it knows our audience and it knows what's inappropriate, and it just goes ahead and edits those things out.
Thank you, Zencastr.
Kind of like how Mozilla Thunderbird just added my dad to all your emails to me. So
I feel like the listeners are now outsiders, so maybe you should explain that comment.
Yeah, well, Zach did some emailing with me this morning, and instead of sending the emails to either of my email addresses, which we've been using for years, he sent them to my dad.
Now, granted, your dad's name is also Ted Clock, Ted A. Clock, right, as well?
It is. It's actually Ted C., but that's okay. But his name is Ted Clock, and that's the point.
Really? I have him as Cluck, Ted A. on my email. I'm going to update that, or I'm going to remove him entirely from my address book because I have no legitimate reason to contact him.
That's true. I'm sure he'll be thrilled to hear from you with Gut Check Business, but, you know, nevertheless.
In that he is someone I've met 4 times and had about a 5-minute total conversation with.
Exactly. Well, it's kind of mysterious that way, then. Baby, tell me what you do, logistics-wise to prepare for a long car trip. Like, are you loading up extra music? What do you do to zone Cal out? Like, what are you guys doing? What are your coping mechanisms? Lots of candy? Are you guys candy people on the car trip?
Dude, we've never actually taken Kelvin on a road trip. I mean, we've gone like 3 hours to camp and stuff up north and stuff, but my thing for a road trip is, this won't surprise you, but lots and lots of cords, cables, adapters, Velcro ties, make sure everything's tied, everything's prepared. I like to bring my GPS, the Bluetooth GPS for my palm. Yeah. Even though those maps are from 2004, I prefer that to my phone.
Absolutely. The surface roads haven't changed. So if there's any problems on the freeway, you'll be in good shape.
And of course, books on tape. And when I say that, I mean books on CD, which is only slightly less old-timey thing to say. I fire up a lot of podcasts, that sort of stuff.
So lots of things lash to other things. There's a lot of lashing. How many trips are you making back into the house for things that you forgot before you actually pull out of the driveway? What's the over-under on that? 4 or 5?
0, man. My wife does such an incredible job of packing. I just bring my lashing supplies and my cords and my devices. My wife is like on top of trips. It's almost maybe a power trip for her. She's the master of the trip.
Wow.
So she's got like printouts of the directions in case there's no reception for the phones.
Wow.
Everything's ready to go. Backups of backups. I don't ever have like any anxiety about anything like that.
Yeah.
Maybe I run back in because I forgot one thing.
Yeah.
That's normal. You know, I'm a guy who, you know, short trips, I'll forget things. I'll have to go back several times.
Yeah, it's
good. I left a box of bullets, you know, in my house or at a restaurant.
Exactly. It's because you're not like on top of your game for a short trip. Mm-hmm. You know, you take it lightly. You feel like it's going to be easy, and then you know, it sneaks up on you. So, is it safe to assume that you're the first person to lose your temper on a long car trip, or would Aaron ever fill
Probably
that role?
I'm the only person who would. Yeah. In fact, what happens is I'll get really angry. My son, who's the most compassionate person alive, will start to feel bad for me and like comfort me, mm-hmm. which will then make me feel like mm-hmm. a complete idiot. That I'm all like worked up and there's a 9-year-old saying, you know, it's going to be okay, man. Don't worry about it.
It's like he's the maturest one in the car. You know, he's talking you down. Yeah, I've had that experience too, man. That's convicting, to say the least.
Ted, not that I don't want to keep talking about this forever, but I just remembered, I wanted to tell you, I got a new leather blotter, a new leather desk set. Yeah, the old one was looking a little worn, so I retired it.
Whoa, you got a desk set. Did you throw it in a river angrily after first wrapping it in plastic?
I didn't, but I think I'm just going to bring it to you, and you can toss it.
We're gonna have a desk blotter throwing ceremony here in honor of the movie. Oh gosh,
Dead Poets Society.
I forgot the name of that trash movie. Oh, dude,
And then we can completely miss the point of that famous Robert Frost poem together.
Exactly.
And miss the fact that the beat generation is ramping up and just focus on like poems that everyone reads in sixth grade because we don't understand, you know, literature at all. But I seriously may bring it and we can toss it and do like Facebook Live video of us discus throwing the desk set.
I love it, baby. And I think you should post a picture of your new desk set with the episode. Maybe. I'd like to see it. And I bet our listeners would like to see it too.
I could do it with the majestic shofar in the background, sort of fuzzy and out of focus.
Ooh, I like that. Baby, I thought of you recently because I don't know if you knew this, but the new home here in Humboldt, Tennessee that you're going to be visiting has a tennis court.
Shut up.
No, it does, man. It's got an old tennis court that the previous owners had let kind of become overgrown because they were older folks and they hadn't played tennis in several years. But what? Tristan and I did like insane amounts of work clearing off the tennis court and making it playable. And on the day after Christmas Day, we got a tennis net. So one of our gifts was a tennis net. And Tristan and I did some the whole sport of tennis from the net standpoint. There's so much lashing in that sport.
Nice.
You know, installing a tennis net is all about like various kinds of lashing. So I thought about you the whole time and I wished that you were helping me lash because it's right in your wheelhouse.
You have a tennis court on your property.
I do. I have a tennis court. So on the level of old men, like this is an old man episode for sure. What we're going to do.
That's not old man. That's like rich, like wasp episode.
Dude, yeah.
I mean, do you have an area for dressage as well? What the
world? Yeah, I have a little riding area, a little riding arena for my horsemanship.
Steeplechase?
Yeah, exactly. I've changed my name to Danbury, legally.
Nice.
It is now Kristen Danbury. So, baby, what we're going to do when you get here in true old man fashion, we're going to walk down to the tennis court and you can admire my lashing work. And then if you're up for it, we can hobble through a game of tennis.
I am the worst tennis player in the world.
I'm probably right there with you. So, but I love it. I love the idea of it. You know what I mean? I think I like the idea of tennis more than I like actual tennis, but,
I like the idea. I'm good at Wii tennis.
Okay.
A few years ago, I had an experience where a couple of teenagers at my church, of athletic guys.
Yeah.
They were both on the tennis team, which surprised me because they look like, you know, football guys, but they were on the tennis team and they were doing a fundraiser and they needed, each of them needed a grown-up to team up with them at this like exhibition fundraiser thing.
Yeah.
And I said, listen, man, I cannot play. I suck at it.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, don't worry about it. It's just for fun. And I said, no, I'm horrible at it. I'm better at basketball than tennis. And you've seen me play basketball. And he said, no, it's just fun. Let's just do it. It'll be fun. So I show up and within three volleys or serves or whatever you call it in tennis, he was already literally mad at me, harumphing under his breath. And I'm like, dude, I told you, you had full knowledge going in what you were getting. Here's my problem with tennis and with several other sports, including golf, you've seen. I can't not swing and hit as hard as I can.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, I will hit that ball so hard. If it was a contest of who could hit it hardest, I'd probably be very good. But I'll hit it 6 miles, man. It'll go over the fence and just disappear into another county. I can't not smash it. I can't I can't turn it off.
Yeah, along those lines, that's interesting. Are you also the guy who, when you go bowling, you have to like throw the ball down the lane as hard as you can and make it thud off like the back wall of the bowling alley? Are you that guy?
Only if I get mad, you know? I mean, I try to get like the goofy like sidestep ball spin thing going.
Yeah, there's
just to sort of distract myself so I won't be that guy. Because that guy ends with like 62 points.
Yeah, he ends with 62 points, but everyone's kind of in awe of his strength at the same time. You know?
True.
Oh, baby. This has been a fun old man episode. What other old man things can we talk about? We have other
Know, but it just occurred to me that Ted, I just saw an ad for the Happy Rant Sports podcast, and it just occurred to me this is sort of like Gut Check podcast sports, isn't
it? This is Gut Check Sports, and that we've talked about bowling and tennis
and dressage, all the major sports,
all the major.
Ah, crud. Someone's calling here.
Take it on the air like I did.
No, I'm just gonna let it go to the
Yeah, because church business is different than. I mean, we did. We did talk to my provost on the air, but.
Oh, I mean, I would take it if you wanted to, like, you want to do the commentary?
Yeah, grab it real quick.
Judson Baptist Church. I'm sorry, I can't hear you over the, how you say, answering machine. It'll just be a second.
This is Zach speaking with a parishioner in his church.
She goes on for a while here, so it'll take, okay, what's up? Okay. Right. Yeah. The office is closed and I'm on a conference call. So I just had the door shut, but I can run and prop the door for Brandon now.
Zach's going to be propping the door for Brandon.
Is he still here? Cause I'd gladly go do it.
He would not gladly do it. That's not gladness in his voice.
You were just calling to tell me that that happened.
This might be Zach's wife on the call.
Okay. If you want, I'll go prop it right now. Okay.
Zach. All right. Is that Aaron?
Thanks, Tiffany. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. All right. That wasn't nearly as interesting and exciting as when you got dressed down.
Folks, that was 6 minutes of whether or not to prop the door open. So I think I speak for the rest of the audience in saying that you should just go ahead and prop it open.
All right. For those of you at home, the door has been buzzed and Brandon got in. So
that's great, man.
It's exciting.
Yeah, that's really exciting. You know what I'm typing, baby?
What's that?
I'm typing a new essay for our new Gut Check book, the new Gut Check Definitive Guide to Everything in Pop Culture.
What is this one in particular?
The essay is how seminal 80s and 90s action movies would change if Michael Cera were cast in the lead role. Do you want to hear a couple?
Yes.
Okay.
Don't give away too much of the freebies though. Here,
it's not going to surprise
people to buy this book.
The first one is Die Hard. so in Die Hard, we have Michael Cera as Lieutenant John McClane.
Oh no! Now is this like Michael Cera now or 1995?
Michael Cera now. In 1995, he was probably like two, but. Yeah, Michael Cera.
I guess I was thinking like George Michael Bluth. When was that? 2004 or whatever.
No, it's going to be Michael Cera now for all these.
Okay.
All right. Michael Cera as John McClane. Citing travel-related anxiety, McClane stays home in New York City for Christmas, where he hits a number of used bookstores and struggles with second-guessing his decision. Holly McClane takes Harry Ellis up on his offer of mulled wine, a crackling fire, and a baked brie, because who wouldn't? Both she and Ellis, by virtue of having left the party, avoid Hans Gruber's hostile takeover, and McClane is served his divorce papers by mail the following month. It is, needless to say, a very different movie. All right, the next one is Point Break. And we have Michael Cera as Johnny Utah.
Johnny Utah.
Former Big Ten quarterback Johnny Utah joins the Los Angeles Police Department as a detective.
Now, hold on. We're supposed to buy Michael Cera as a former star quarterback?
Absolutely.
Okay.
However, he refuses to party with Bodie and his wild band of surfer/bank robbers at the beach luau, citing acid reflux as well as a gluten and soy intolerance. He also bows out of the beach football game later that evening, saying that he'd rather read. This raises suspicion within the group. He and Bodie fail to connect, and he is soon killed. It is a much shorter movie.
Probably better. Actually, that movie could go on without the Johnny Utah character and be just as good, totally probably. Could.
Yeah, Gary Busey.
It's all on Busey's shoulders at that point. Yeah, am I right? Absolutely.
Busey was more than capable. I've got one more short one. Top Gun, Michael Cera as Iceman. Nothing homoerotic happens in this one. Iceman continues to just be a really solid pilot, but Maverick is no longer threatened by him.
Dude, no one's less threatening than Michael Cera. Even in that clip where he's ranting at like his key grips and such, it's just like, what?
Exactly. Baby, I'm excited for that book. And another book that I'm excited for is our Rapture novel sequel, which I have a chapter for us to read to our audience. Are we ready for that yet? Or do we want to do some more radio-related things first?
Let's do some more radio, baby. Let's do another few minutes.
We'll do a few minutes. Baby, what are your thoughts on Mission will wear his new Gut Check swag. We have a Gut Check Army t-shirt. If you haven't seen this, go to missionalwear.com, search for the Gut Check podcast or Gut Check Army, and you will see the magnificent t-shirt design that they have produced for us in the short span of about 2 years. Start to finish development was about a 2 year process. Zach, would you say that's standard in the t-shirt business, just in the fashion industry in general?
If anything, it's quick. I mean, it seems like just a scant year and a half ago that we first said we would like to see such a thing.
Exactly.
You know?
And a scant year and a half ago that they first said that they would like to see such a thing. Right. It's been a little bit of a dance. It's been a little bit of like, two animals circling each other in the wild. That's kind of been the dynamic between us and Missional Wear. But we are happy to report that there is a beautiful t-shirt that has resulted from this union. So the two entities came together and we produced a magnificent t-shirt. It says Gut Check Army on it. Zach, what are your other thoughts on this shirt?
Well, I think it's a good start. What I would really like to see, and what a lot of us in the Gut Check Army told them online over the holidays, was what we wanted for Christmas was the Gut Check wing of the shop there to open.
Right.
Much like you can click on Happy Rant, Doctrine and Devotion, Reform Pubcast, these go to 11 and get a variety of products. So this gives me some hope that may yet be a reality. And my thought is perhaps they're waiting to see how many orders they get on this t-shirt before they put a bunch more work into it. So maybe what we need is for everyone listening right now to go and buy one. And you can just click on our website, gutcheckpress.com, and click swag, or you can go to missionalwear.com and just search for Gut Check and you'll find this shirt. And definitely buy this puppy, buy a few. We want to show them that they want to keep on producing Gut Check products.
Actually, I'd like to issue a challenge to some of our listeners, and this is a thing that they can confirm with photographs that they would submit to us via Twitter or other places. I would like for someone to buy a shirt in all of the different colors that Missional Wear offers and just wear nothing but Gut Check Army t-shirts indefinitely. They offer a lot of colors, baby. That's the thing. You think I'm being funny, but there's like a dozen colors. So, I mean, we're looking at like a $4,000 investment here up front, but I feel like it would be worth it.
You know, and I want to further, I want to up the ante on that challenge and say in the kind of the spirit of Ronnie Martin's brother, Starflyer 59.
Yeah.
That you buy hundreds of these Gut Check Army shirts, wear them only once each, and then throw them away.
Is that a thing that Ronnie Martin's brother from Starflyer 59 does? He's a one t-shirt wearing guy.
You don't remember? This was like a long conversation we had the first time I met Ronnie and we all hung out.
Really? I vaguely remember. Yeah,
he goes to Target and buys black t-shirts.
Okay.
And he wears them once and then he chucks them. I guess I should check with Ronnie that that's supposed to be public knowledge.
Yeah.
But I think it's hilarious.
Dude, that's fascinating. What do you think of that? Like, because I have mixed feelings about it, to be honest. There's a part of me that admires that.
No, I feel like a t-shirt doesn't get comfortable until you've worn it like 6,000 times and it's been washed to the point where it's really soft. And like, I don't know. I don't like the feel of a new t-shirt so much.
Interesting. I don't like the feel of it, but you know what I like about a new t-shirt, baby? I like the smell of it. I like the smell of new. You know what I mean?
It's a little bit chemically, but and the cardboard's in there and stuff. But yeah, there's an excitement to that smell.
There's an excitement to the smell. There's a little bit of cardboard. There's a little bit of, chemical residue, whatever. That's intoxicating. And I bet Ronnie's brother is in the same kind of camp as me on that. I don't know. I kind of wish I had the courage to pull a similar move, but
for me it's less courage and more money. Like that'd be more expensive than smoking 3 packs a day or something, right? Wearing a new t-shirt every single day of your life.
I feel like it would, but I mean, if you buy them in bulk, maybe you have to sit down and do the math on it, you know, because I feel like
a black t-shirt guy, you know,
a normal person, you know, you're buying sport coats occasionally, you're buying like button downs, you're buying different stuff for your wardrobe. But if you are strictly a black t-shirt guy and you bought them in bulk, it might be cheaper, you know?
So this is like Wayne Campbell of Wayne's World.
Yeah. But Wayne wasn't wearing a new one every day. You know, you got the sense.
I doubt it.
Yeah, Wayne just had a few black t-shirts that he was.
Or one.
Or one, exactly. Probably one.
The opposite direction.
Exactly. Definitely the opposite direction.
Hey, Ted, I'm not to violently change the subject, yeah, but I had a little kind of gut check with Ted and Zach, mm-hmm, slash kind of standard year end, beginning of new year exercise I wanted to go through with you.
Let's go through it.
And so let's, you know, I know we are a little pushed for time and we want to get that chapter in, although we may not. And that would be funny if we didn't. But everyone's releasing their top 10 or 40 or whatever favorite books of 2017, mm-hmm, the best movies, et cetera. So I'd like to hit get your and then share my top, let's say top five, like Rob, what's his name on High Fidelity.
OK, yeah.
Top five records kind of deal.
Dude, I love that movie so much, man.
Dude, and I love that exercise. For the longest time after that, me and my friends were all doing that. Hey,
yeah, top five,
whatever. So of 2017, which is a year that I feel like didn't even happen.
Yeah.
I literally went a whole sermon talking about, I started the intro, like, does anyone have a New Year's resolution for 2017? And no one raised their hand because they were all confused. I felt like we were starting 2017.
Mm.
But alas, we're already through it. If you look back at that, what are your, and I don't even know if you watch enough television to do this, but what would be your top five TV shows?
Gosh, man, I don't. That's the thing. Like, and I don't watch TV shows that are current now.
It doesn't need to be current now. I mean, for you, for Ted Kluck, for me, viewing Ted of 2017. Kluck,
top five TV shows. Okay, so we started 2017 watching this show called Into the Badlands. It's an AMC, like, post-apocalyptic thing. Some of them are on Netflix, but some of them we rented. It was really, really cool. Kind of a kung fu deal, man. It was highly stylized and the worlds were very fanciful. But we really dug that show at the beginning of the year. So Into the Badlands would be on there. Lost. We finally watched Lost.
Did you watch it through to the end?
We didn't, because Netflix took it down, and also I was getting really bored with it. So
okay,
that's my thing.
I've heard it's boring.
Yeah, I never finish a show, baby. I didn't finish The Office. I didn't finish – the only show I've ever finished is Seinfeld. I didn't finish Parks and Rec. You know, all these sort of finishable shows that people hold near and dear. Lost, you know, just didn't get there. But watched a lot of Lost, watched a lot of Into the Badlands. Cheers is always up there for me. That's a go-to show for me. I always watch a lot of
Cheers. You've talked a lot of Cheers this year.
I have talked a lot of Cheers, which means I had a lot of insomnia this year because that's my insomnia program. I can't really think of other shows that I've watched besides that, to be honest. I know there have been some, but...
What about some ESPN jock show? Don't you watch that stuff?
I don't watch jock shows at all. I just watch the sports themselves. You know what I'm saying?
So you don't care about the, like, has-beens discussing everything to
death? No, I hate that, actually. That dampens my enjoyment of the actual sport, to be honest.
Let me then limit myself to three.
Okay.
I loved Search Party. Have you heard of this?
No, not a thing.
It's a Leah Shawkat, who is maybe from Arrested Development.
Yeah.
And it's spectacular, dude. It's a little bit crass and stuff, but if you can stomach that and it doesn't prick your conscience, it's not that bad. It's you know, just a little bit like a millennial show, and it mocks millennials incessantly. I think that one's worth watching. Yeah. I'm just started a show called Jean-Claude Van Johnson.
Okay.
And I'm loving it. It's got Felissa Rashad.
Ooh.
And yes, woo indeed. Yeah. Because of how great of an actress and an icon she is from The Cosby Show.
Well, absolutely. Course. Yeah. Yeah.
And she's just as good of an actress now as she was then, if you understand what I'm saying.
I do. Just as skilled at the craft and, you know,
if not better. Yeah. She's really, she's improved. And so the idea behind this show is that Jean-Claude Van Damme is actually, his horrible, crappy movies are all just a cover for him being an actual secret agent.
Nice.
It's hilarious. It's super self-deprecating in, like, a way that I didn't think he was capable of, and funny as heck. You should check that out.
Is that on Netflix?
Nah, it's Amazon Prime show.
Gotcha.
Prime content. And then I loved, this is going to surprise anybody who knows what Gut Check's all about, but there's a show called Hashtag Girl Boss.
Okay.
which is about this chick who like starts a vintage clothes thing on eBay, and it sounds really redonk. And I agreed to watch it as like a concession. And then have you ever had this happen with the wife? You're like, yeah, I'll watch that. And then you're just obsessed. Like Downton. That's what happened with Downton.
Downton Abbey is the prime example of that for sure.
So you get the credit for it, but you also really want to watch the next one because it's really well done.
Absolutely.
That was a Netflix original.
Okay, it was a Netflix original. Interesting. Who's in it? Anyone noteworthy?
You know, I think it was all pretty much introducing so-and-so, you know, people who had bit parts here and there, but actually Norm MacDonald was in it as a kind of a bit part, which was hilarious. But I know KK would love that show. There's only one season and they canceled it, but she would love it. It's right up your alley collectively.
Yeah.
You guys.
Yeah. We'll check it out, man.
Let's talk top three podcasts, you know, for the sake of time and because we've set that standard. Podcasts of 2017.
Well, number one for me is the Gut Check podcast.
Oh, that's a good one. I love that podcast.
I really love the hosts in particular and how charming they are and how good they are with their words.
Handsome, too. I mean, really?
Yeah. Amazing. My other podcast, and I don't listen to a ton of podcasts, but the podcasts I listen to them religiously. There's one on the Ringer podcast network called The Rewatchables. Have you listened to this at all?
Uh-uh.
It actually reminds me of us, man. What they do, they take iconic movies from like usually the 90s because these guys are all about our age. So The Ringer was started by Bill Simmons, who's this kind of icon in the sports writing game in that he kind of ascended through the ranks at ESPN. He was a really clever kind of columnist and then broke off and started his own thing called Grantland, which then became The Ringer.
Yeah, that's crazy popular stuff. I hear about that.
Yeah, it is. And they got all these kind of like interesting pop culture writers. And so they'll take a movie like they did this with Speed. They did it with Point Break, kind of a crappy 80s, 90s action type movie, and just have like a deep dive, long discussion about like the minutiae of the movie. And, you know, whether or not it was certain actors at their peak, whether or not like the movie would have worked if it starred someone else, and just the kind of stuff we do. The kind of stuff that that we enjoy doing. So a lot of the rewatchables on Ringer. And the third one I listen to is one also on the Ringer podcast network. It's called GM Street. And it stars this guy, Mike Lombardi, who used to be the general manager of a pro football team, the Cleveland Browns. And he was fired. And now he's like kind of super bitter, but super insightful and funny. And he's Italian. So he equates. He's always drawing these analogies between everything's like a Goodfellas reference. So, you know, so-and-so is always the whoever from Goodfellas of the NFL. And it's great. It's super entertaining. I always learn stuff about football when I listen to it and I enjoy it. What about you, baby? Top three.
Dude, I have been re-binging actually, Doctrine and Devotion. I don't know if you listen to that. It's Joe Thorne and Jimmy. Never. Oh my gosh, dude. I don't know. Actually, Jimmy the driver. Actually, it's like Jimmy the like cigar smoking like I don't know. He's got a little bit of a gangster, not like gangster kind of vibe to him as well. Like I could see him like coming out of a organized crime background.
Interesting.
I'm blowing smoke. He seems like a really nice guy. And that was fun because they do a lot of their shows taped in a cigar lounge and they talk theology and all this stuff. I mean, we've had Joe Thorne on our program and stuff. Yeah. He references the Happy Rant once in a while.
Really?
Yeah. That's I feel like you guys have a low grade, like friendly celebrity feud going on with,
We do, but we all like Joe, man. We all really like Joe.
He's awesome. And it's actually, I actually learn a crap ton when I listen to that and I'm really entertained. They're funny guys. Number two is a new podcast just started this year in 2017. It's called Clinch, a podcast of fiction and not fiction. It's a really, again, kind of a very handsome, very intelligent, very talented guy reading a chapter a week of a book that he wrote and talking about publishing and that sort of thing. Indie publishing, traditional publishing. I would call it a masterpiece if I had to really square it.
If you had to just put one word on it.
Yeah. And the guy who runs it actually is starting to have people on it and he wants to have you on it in the next few weeks. So I'll give him your contact information.
Yeah. Have his people get in touch with my people. I may have to work it around an appearance on Trogs's podcast, but actually I won't, because I will never be on that. Is that still going? Is that still a thing? Trogsy,
it started up again. I wonder. Okay. Yeah, that actually could have made my top list, except I didn't want to anger you. You've never listened to that one, have you?
Oh, no, and I never will. Not because I'm angry, but just because I don't care. You know what I mean?
You know, the idea behind that, I think, was more for his health and like emotionally and everything, because Trogs tends to really get negative. Mm. And so this one is purely positive. You only can talk about good stuff, stuff that makes you happy, stuff that's like scratching your itch now. I think that's what people like about it. It stands out in that way. But if he asked you, what if he begged you? What if he publicly, what if he made a video and said he really wanted you to be on? Would you still shoot him down?
You know what? That's interesting. I think if he made a video and it was really, here's what Trogs would do, and it wouldn't work for me. He would make a video and he'd try to make it funny, because he would try to maintain some shred of like leverage or power, or even just sort of emotional leverage and power. You know what I mean? And like, he'd make the video asking me to be on, but I could sense like an undercurrent of you know, disdain or hostility or irony even in the video. And it, so it'd be a no go for me, but only if I sensed that the video content was completely earnest. And he was completely just groveling, would I say yes.
Usually complete earnestness is not the best way to approach you. But in this case, this is one of the rare cases where it is. Huh?
Actually, I'm a sucker for earnestness, man. From the right
people. Usually seems to annoy you, though, or at least if you get too much of it. If you're around fully earnest people for too long,
yeah.
You seem to tap out.
Yeah, I think I have earnestness fatigue in most cases, but... yeah, especially when you get earnestness from people with whom that's not typically a part of the relationship. I find that really winsome. So,
okay.
So I think if Trogs were to approach me in that way, I would say yes to be on, I don't even know the name of the show. What is it called?
Only the good stuff. Only the good stuff.
And I would listen too. I'd listen to my app. I mean, I wouldn't listen to other apps, but I'd listen to mine, you know? So, so he'll get one more download for that episode.
I love it.
Yeah. Isn't that true?
My number one, by the way, is the Gut Check podcast. Unlike yours.
Yeah.
I think it's great. I really love the content. I love the topics. I love the Literacy Month. I love it all. I wouldn't change a thing.
What's your favorite thing about it?
My favorite thing about it is, you know, I'm actually on it. I'm one of the co-hosts.
Yeah. Full disclosure. And, you know, I feel like we should be upfront about that.
It's like an NPR when they're like, this oil company did this horrible thing. Full disclosure. Yeah. They're one of our funding partners.
That's right. What was the name of the guy that always funded Downton Abbey that we always used to joke about?
Oh, was it like Reince something or like, oh gosh. I don't
know. It was some guy and they always gave the name of his partner. And KK would always, it's really crass. We always made jokes about the two of them. it's going to kill me. It'll come to me like at 2 a.m. tonight.
I feel like just listen to a couple of our last episodes. We pulled that out not that long ago.
I think we did. Yeah, for sure. Baby, I actually have to go.
So, oh, man. So we don't have time yet again.
that's the dynamic of the group, is that I have to go now. So.
I wonder if maybe we can get all the way through 2018 without ever having time for Re-Raptured again.
For Gut Check Literacy Month. I think we should record. Well, obviously, we're going to record several apps while you're here.
In the Cedar-Lined Smoke Room.
In the Cedar-Lined Smoke Room, we're gonna throw down several apps. And I'm confident, baby, that we can get a chapter or two in the can from the new Rapture novel.
Nice. All right, man. Should I bring some cigars, or do you have a cigar shop near home?
You should bring some, man. We have a cigar shop, but it's not that great. So yeah, bring some. I've got Jarums. I've got tons of pipe tobacco, so don't bring any of that. And yeah, we'll have a great time.
Dude, nothing smells like the 90s more than like black, like Jarum cloves.
Dude, I love it. I love that smell so much. Jarums and new t-shirts. Those are two smells that I can really get behind.
What about like a new t-shirt that's been worn once while you were smoking a clove, so it retains that smell?
Goodness, dude, that would be magic. That'd be magical. I'm going to create a men's fragrance based on what you just said.
A musk.
That should be another spin-off Gut Check product. Maybe Missional Wear can do a musk for us. You know what? I want to be the only podcaster entity on Missional Wear that has a musk. That's a life goal for
me. I like it.
All right, baby. We have, I almost said we've wandered to and fro. That's my thing from the other show.
No, you say that on this one almost every time, too. It's all right. It's just your thing.
Creature Habit, we've wandered to and fro, and we will see you next time.